الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا رب بلغ بالمصطفى مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our honorable Sheikh Arif Billah, Rumi of our time, Mujaddid of our time, the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adam Allah Fuyudhum, Hazrat says that before every bayan, make muzakra, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With regard to the importance, the value, the benefits of sunnahs, Hazrat has said many poems also. One poem which Allah in His kindness has made famous in the world is Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hai Jannat ke raaste. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. نقش قدم نبی کے ہیں جنت کے راستے، اللہ سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے. What does this mean? Any person who follows on the footsteps, the lifestyle, the sunnats of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will see this is the road to Jannat, he will come out in Jannat. Just like here, we take the board that shows Messina, we'll come out in Messina. You take out the board, you take the board that shows Toyandu, you will come out in Toyandu, whatever the board road you take. So whoever takes the road of sunnats will see he will come out in Jannat. And the other is that whoever takes the road of Jannat, the road of sunnats, he will get connected with Allah Ta'ala. He'll have a direct connection with Allah Ta'ala. So Jannat also that person will get, but Jannat is udhar, credit. We still have to live our whole life of the Qabr, the day of Qiyamah, then inshaAllah we will get Jannat. But we will get Allah, not the credit, cash now. And Jannat is the creation of Allah, and the creation has no comparison with the Creator. So by following sunnats, we'll get Jannat, which is credit, which is the creation of Allah. And we will get Allah, who is cash. Now we will get Allah Ta'ala, and He is the creator of everything. So valuable are sunnats. We should try and design and pattern our whole life from morning to night, that we do everything according to sunnah. We go and sleep, try and sleep according to sunnah. Whole night sleeping, 6 hours, 8 hours, whatever it might be, it will be ibadah. We'll get the sawab of sunnah. We wake up according to sunnah, the duas, etc. To do a dirty job like going toilet, but if we do it according to sunnah, that will also become a great, great ibadah. Read the dua before entering. enter with the left leg. When we come out with the right leg. Read the dua. Just these simple things. And then going to toilet will be a very great ibadat also. Mm. Then what to say about our namazes if they are according to sunnah? Today said, we talk so much about sunnah, but how many of us have checked whether my namaz is according to sunnah? Whether am I raising the hands, am I doing this according to sunnah? Or just habit, what I'm doing from a child, still carrying on. My ruku, my sajda, is it according to sunnah or not? We have to check all this. Then see the value that will come in all our whole life. Because of the sunnahs, if we bring them in our lives. And we shouldn't fool ourselves just because we got topi, beard, kurta, so I'm in sunnahs. These are only three sunnahs. There are still thousands of other sunnahs. So every sunnah, how to treat our wives, there is a sunnah way of that also. Our workers, how to treat them, that also there are sunnah teachings in there. Everything we should try and bring sunnahs into our lives. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. The surah I read of the Quran Sharif, one of the shortest surahs of the Quran Sharif. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah Ali says that if there was no other ayat, no other surah in the Quran Sharif revealed, only this one surah wal asr, it was enough for the guidance of mankind. So there must be such a big message in it that such a great person like Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah Ali, he says it's enough for the guidance of mankind. So may Allah let us understand in this little while a little bit of the surah, and with the intention of understanding and then putting into practice. Then inshallah this will be a source of guidance for us. The whole Quran Sharif is so big, there is so much of hidayah. But even if we can just grasp this little bit, just the short surah wal asr, inshallah we will benefit tremendously. So let us try and sit with an open mind, an open heart, and see what is the message which Allah Ta'ala is giving us in the surah, and try and bring it into our lives there. Allah Ta'ala first of all has said wal asr. Waw, ya, wa is of qasam. Allah has taken an oath of time. Al-asr is time. So Allah has taken an oath of time. Firstly, a question arises, what is the necessity of Allah Ta'ala taking an oath? Allah Ta'ala does not have to take an oath. Allah is, who can be more truer than Allah Ta'ala? Allah is the most truthful. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. And Allah is haqqul mubin, who makes the haqq, the truth. Allah makes it known. He makes bayan of it. He opens it up. So Allah is the truth totally in completeness. We will ask one another to take a qasam if we doubt the person. Perhaps he's lying. We want the truth to come out. So we tell him, take an oath, take qasam. But Allah, there is no question. The answer to this is, Allah is taking a qasam, just like a father or mother giving advice to their young children, boy, girl. And in that advice, they are so keen that my son, my daughter must listen to me, must believe what I'm saying. I'm saying it for their good. So he said, qasam I take, and I tell you this, yeah. You want to convince them just how much love the mother has got for her daughter, father has got for his son, and he's explaining in this way. Now from there we can gauge how merciful Allah Ta'ala is, how much he wants our hidayat and our guidance. That he didn't just give us an order, but he's explaining to us, and he's taking a qasam to explain to us that see, what message I'm giving you is most important. And Allah is taking qasam so that we can accept the words of Allah. Allah is not in need that we accept his words. He is independent, he is great, he is as great as he is all the time for our benefit. So we get saved from problems in our life in this world. We get saved from problems at the time of mort, in the qabr, on the day of qiyamah. And we get saved from jahannam, and we can enter jannah. Allah is so keen that we must get this benefit. So Allah is taking qasam, and he's telling us, and he's taking qasam of what also? Allah only takes qasam of his great, great creations. From here, let us also understand that what a great khalaqe azim Allah is, what a great creator Allah is, and khalaqe alim, what a knowledgeable creator Allah Ta'ala is. That Allah has created a thing like time. Time is not just it is here. We unfortunately, throughout our lives, we are living like zombies. We're just passing life and taking things for granted. Did we ever take out little time to think that this time, Allah created time? Allah, like you to understand it is not so easy. Like you say, somebody built a masjid, you can see the masjid, it's understood. Who are the builders? These people are the builders, etc. But a thing like time, which you cannot see with your eyes, an abstract thing. You cannot feel time with your hands. But time is a reality. We are born in time. All the events of history take place in time. We die in time. Everything is happening in time. So this time, that is that what is time? Allah created time. It's not, nothing was in existence. Only Allah was in existence all the time. So let us just think of it that Allah, what a great creator, that He created a thing like time. And then understand how great Allah Ta'ala is, that He created a thing like time. And then again, not only that He created time, but He gave us the measurement of time also. Like we say, for example, Zuhr, Azan, 12:30. This isn't just it happened or somebody made up. Allah created the measurement of time for us also. Zuhr, Azan will be 12:45. So easy for everyone. I must eat, finish by this time. I must come, I must get ready for namaz by this time. Namaz going to be 12:45. If there wasn't this measurement of time, we're having a nikah of my daughter. When is the nikah? We give a date. So and so date, after so and so namaz. That time Allah, and that measurement of time Allah gave. One person gives goods to somebody. Pay me after 30 days. We just take it for granted. But this 30 days measurement of time, Allah created it. We are using Allah's ni'mat of time also and the measurement of time also. We say that you are doing the alim course 6 years. Where did the 6 years come out from? Allah Ta'ala gave us this measurement. We're using all the time. But we're not appreciating Allah Ta'ala. Like somebody deposits in our bank account every day 10,000 rand. And a person just uses it, but he doesn't even think, who can be this person? Every day 10,000 rand in my account. And he doesn't even think, who is it? 10,000 rand is nothing compared to one ni'mat of Allah. And Allah is putting into our account millions of ni'mats all the time. And we are just blowing those ni'mats and we don't even think who is putting it. Let me at least say one thank you. Let me say one jazakallah. Let me appreciate to Allah that what ni'mats you have given me. Of the millions, Allah gave us our eyes, our brains, our bodies, our families, our business, our house. All are the ni'mats of Allah. But at the moment we're speaking of this great ni'mat of time. And like for example, when we came here we found out there is a water problem at the moment here in Louis Trichardt. Now it's a problem. Everyone wants water. Without water we can't stay. And there's a famous saying in Arabic, "An-ni'matu idha fuqidat urifat." When a ni'mat is lost, then we appreciate it. Like when we are young, we don't appreciate our youth and our health. When we get old now, then we appreciate. When I was young, I could do so many things and all that. Now I can't do anything. When we were healthy, we don't appreciate our health. When we get sick now, may Allah save us, a person gets paralyzed or something. When we say, when I was healthy, I could do so much today, I can't help it, I can't do anything. So all these are the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. So time also, like this, we don't appreciate. But like, for example, we have to catch a flight. This evening, 5:00 from Johannesburg, or Artembo. Now we say it will take me so many hours to get there, and I must leave by this time, yeah. We left, okay, I left 1 hour earlier for safety's sake. But now on the way, there was a roadblock. And 2 hours, I got caught up in the roadblock. Now my time is getting tight. Now how tensed we get, how frustrated we get. On the freeway now you can't even turn back, you're just in the queue. And you just have to carry on with that queue. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Now you pass that roadblock or whatever it might have been, an accident that they had to close the highway and you couldn't move front, whatever it might be.
Now when you are worried, now I hope there isn't another problem. I hope I reach the airport at time. I can do my checking in on time. Otherwise, I will miss my flight. And even worse, if in front you got a connecting flight. Now if you don't get this flight, your whole trip is going to be upset. So then we realize the value of time. That time is so valuable. Now one minute we value. Like this, hours and hours, days and months and years we are wasting. But then one minute is valuable to us. So time is a great ni'mat of Allah. We should understand the qudrat of Allah. What a creator Allah, that He created a thing like time. And then Allah Ta'ala in His mercy gave us the measurement of time by which we measure and we say, we do all our work. So Allah has taken an oath of time. And again, there is another great relationship where Allah Ta'ala took the qasam of time. Allah says, if you don't value your time, you don't appreciate your time. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, a person wants to pass time. Like we say, let's pass time. And how sad it is. How many of us in Ramzan we want to pass time? Ramzan time is even more valuable. Where one nafil gets the value of a faraz by Allah Ta'ala. And a faraz gets the value of 70 farais in the month of Ramadan. But in Ramzan we say, I want to pass time. So our Shaykh say a person wants to pass time, doesn't pass time, he fails time. If you don't make value out of time, time is not going to stop for you. Time and tide waits for no man. Time just carries on. We know the famous saying and the famous story of the rabbit and the tortoise, the hare and the tortoise. They were taking a race. So the rabbit said, I run very fast. Tortoise is very slow. So I don't have to worry. He went and sleep away. Tortoise didn't sleep. He carried on slowly, slowly. Rabbit fell asleep. He didn't wake up. Tortoise won the race. So a person who doesn't appreciate time and he thinks that, well, I'll cover up, no problem. I can go, I've got a fast car. My brains work very well. These people are very slow, they will go. I will catch up, I will be the first. And we take it easy, you lose out. Procrastination is the thief of time. So far, I'll do it, I'll see to it. What are you rushing me? Your wife tells you, do this, the step is leaking. No, don't rush me, I'll do it. Or anything else. We not doing it, it becomes worse, a bigger problem. So we shouldn't be thieves of time. Don't steal time. And just imagine, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the worst thief. Today we hate the thieves, what they are doing. But the worst thief is the one who steals from his namaz. That we don't make our namaz properly. Rushing through our ruku, sijda. That is the worst thief. And we have, how many of us are guilty of that? We rush through our namaz, we don't make our namaz properly, and we don't even regard ourselves as thieves. We are very angry about the other thieves, but we are the biggest thieves in the eyes of Allah. In the house of Allah we are stealing. We are not making our namazes properly. So time also, we should appreciate it. Don't lose time. Don't procrastinate. Don't waste time. And also it's a famous saying, a person who looks after the pennies, the pounds look after themselves. A person who looks after his minutes and seconds, then there is barakat in that person's time. And a person who doesn't, that person, he loses out. And then big amounts of time. And those who appreciate time, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahmatullah, he was a great Syrian sheikh who lived in Saudi Arabia, Hanafi alim, very great Hanafi alim. When he was visiting us, he told us he visited India. He always honored and respected our ulama of India and Pakistan. He said he went to one alim and he found in his room where he used to work, there were two doors going out. At both doors, he had a pair of sandals. So he asked him, why are you keeping two pairs of sandals? So like Israf, waste of money. One here, one there, one pair of sandals is enough for a person. So what that Maulana told him, that when I want to go out from this side, I don't waste the time of picking up the sandals from this side. And when I want to go out from this side, I don't waste time to pick up the sandals from that side. So see, Sandals, we know the value, 20 rand, 30, 40, 50 rand you pay for a pair of sandals. But time, we don't know the value. They knew the value of time. The time is more valuable than that 70, 80 rand what you're going to pay for your pair of sandals. That my time is more valuable. And just a small room, 4 meters, 3 meters perhaps, how long it takes to walk from one side. But even that time, how they appreciate. One great buzur. Hey, we can't even compare. This is just, I'm saying, for us to get an idea, but we can't do amal on this. We're not fit for it at all. He used to eat, and then he realized too much of my time is going in eating. So he worked out how much time it takes to eat, and how much time it takes if you take like that, if you make it like into a flower, and you just put it in your mouth and you drink water over it. How the difference? He saw the difference was you could say 70 times more subhanallah. So he says, I can't waste time now. The conventional way of eating, I will just put that flour in my mouth, drink water, and I can say 70 times more subhanallah. And we, how the time we waste when we are traveling in the car, unmindfulness. We could be reading Durood Sharif. We can read, if we're not hafiz of the Quran, we can read Ayatul Kursi. We can read Surah Ikhlas. What sawab we will get. Durood Sharif, what sawab. But we just waste our time. How lot of our time is just wasted. Where and where. And worse than that, when we get involved now, soccer commentary, cricket commentary, going to watch cricket and playing all types of things, all types of other things. How much of our time? Wallah, at the time of maut, like if we're going to the airport and we lost out on time. At the time of maut, we'll appreciate the time that we had. And then we'll wish that time must come back. And then we'll know the value of time, but we know that will be too late. Nobody comes back from maut, and nobody gets a second chance. So wise are those people who take a lesson and value their time. And don't allow even a minute, a second to go wasted. And those who appreciate the time, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, for example, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali, these were those people, they did so much of work in their lifetime that today the West, when they study their work, they say it wasn't the work of one man, it was the work of a whole Jamaat. There was a whole group of people that could write so many kitabs. But it wasn't. It was one man who did so much work. But what's the secret behind it? They didn't allow a minute also to go wasted. They looked after every minute also when Allah gave barakat in there. And a person who disciplines himself. And one great thing that we have to learn when we become bay'at to mashayikh and we stay in their company is to discipline ourselves. A person who learns to discipline himself, especially as time is concerned, he will see an amount of barakat in his time, amount of work that he will be able to do. And a person who doesn't, how many of us will say, just take a more broader example, non-Muslims, they cannot understand that Muslims pray five times a day. Where they get the time to pray five times a day? That Fajr they are up, Zuhr they gone, Asr, Maghrib. They say, hey, these people are very disciplined men. And they cannot understand Muslim keeps 30 rozas a year. And it can be summer hot months of this areas. But mashallah, Muslims keep the, in England this year, roza was almost 18, 20 hours. And summer. Of course, that summers are not as hot as what our summers, but then too it was summer rozas, but they kept the rozas. There are those who don't keep, but the vast majority, by and large, Muslims keep their rozas. Non-Muslims cannot understand this, that how can these people manage to keep rozas? How can they manage to pray five times a day? They can't manage once a week also. And these people are managing five times a day, then within our circles now, many of us we've said, how can these people read five suparas a day? How can they read 10 suparas? Just like the non-Muslims cannot understand, we cannot understand the people who are doing all this, who are doing much more other ibadah, and they are still living properly as human beings. They got families, and many of them got more children than us. They even got time to make so many children. They, in spite of all doing their ibadah and everything, they still got so much time. We hardly got time to make children. We are so busy with other things, wasting our time, that we hardly got time for that. So So if we look after time, Allah will give barakat in time. So time is a very valuable. And who looks after, who does not look after his time, who doesn't appreciate his time, and this is a dangerous thing. And it is not I'm saying it, Allah is saying it. That those who don't look after their time, innal insana lafi khusr. Mankind, because Allah knows the vast majority of men, and Allah did not say innal kafirina lafi khusr. Innal insana, insan, Muslim, non-Muslim, all of them who don't appreciate time, look after time, they are in nuksan, in khusr. They are in destruction. They are losing out very, very greatly. The opposite is the true also. Those who look after the time, they are the ones who become successful. I've seen with my own eyes, in those days when we were younger, when there were very few millionaires. Today, every second, third person is a millionaire. Money has become quite common now, but in those days when there were very few, one millionaire, I was sitting with him in his office, and the post came in. And this, the stamps that were not stamped, in those days, 1 cent stamp. That also he took out and he looked after it. That is when he became a millionaire. He looked after that 1 cent stamp also. And we just waste so much, then you can't move forward. Allah takes away barakat from your life if we waste. When you look after your small things, so time also, if we look after our 2 minutes, our 3 minutes, don't waste, it's only 2 minutes now. For example, we came to masjid, we made our sunnahs, 2 minutes left for Farz Namaz. Take the Quran Sharif, you can read 2 pages in that time. Start with your tasbih, you can read 20, 30 durood sharifs in that time, instead of just sitting. Though in the masjid you sit, if you made niyat of itikaf, you're going to get sawab also. But that time, you can use that time. Wherever you are waiting for somebody on the phone, many times this happens, we have to wait, your call is on hold, and instead of listening to all that music and the adverts and all that, in that time we can be reading tasbih on our fingers. We can be making zikr, we can make some duas. Any person who starts little time, see how lot barkatal. Then you'll see, you'll be shocked yourself. You are managing to read more Quran Sharif, and still you're managing all your work. Allah will give barakat in your time. So time is a great, great gift of Allah. It's a great qudrat of Allah. And it is such a gift that without time you can't do anything. Time is that thing that a person who is 99-year-old kafir, and he gets that little time of half a minute, quarter minute, 15 seconds to read kalima la ilaha illallah, he'll go straight to Jannah. In that time that he appreciated and he read kalima, he'll go straight to Jannah, though 99 years of his life. So time is a very valuable thing. If we look after time, Allah will make us successful. And if we don't look after time, Allah declares there, those who don't look after their time, innal insana lafi khusr. Then Allah is so kind, so merciful to come out of that nuksan, that which mankind at large, generally, we are wasting time. So Allah says to come out of that harm, that nuksan, there are 4 things that you should do. If you do those 4 things, you will come out of this great harm. The first thing, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who have brought iman. And they spend their time in this world with iman. They have come caught away out of that nuksan. 25% now, they are out of nuksan. Now what is this iman? Little bit, just I will give you an indication, that to believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to believe in the year after. Like for example, by way of example, a person goes fishing, and then on his fishing, on the hook, he puts a worm. And I'm not explaining the masala, because you can think yourself that it is totally haram that a living worm to make so much zulam on it and push it through the hook. Imagine if somebody takes your 2-year-old child and pushes a hook through it. That's also a creation, a living creation of Allah Ta'ala. And to make so much zulam on that worm is not jais at all. But people fish in this way. They take a fat worm and they push it through, push the hook through it. Anyway, now you cast your line in. Now a small little fish who hasn't got experience, still young little fish, sees a fat juicy worm right at my doorstep. I didn't have to go and look for a worm today. And my Rosie, right at me, by me the worm has come. And fat juicy for a worm. So it wants to bite it. But the old fish in the water, in the river, the dam, whatever, or the mollyside type fish, they're giving that small fish bayan. And they say, don't go near that worm. You don't know what is behind it. So that small fish is looking at temptation. Like today, discos or pop music or all the other funny type of dirty filth on the internet. When somebody tells you, your mother, father tells you, Molly Sub tells you it's haram. They say, oh no, this is enjoyment, man. What you telling us this is haram? It can't understand. So they say, what is wrong with it? They say, let me explain to you. It's a sugar-coated pearl. The outside of it looks very nice, fat, juicy worm. But you don't know, you are a young little fish star. There is a hook inside, where the end of it very sharp. When you bite on it, then this hook is joined with a line, which goes out of the rubber. Then it is fishing rod, 2 meter long fishing rod. And there is a man 1.5 meter tall, he's got it in his hand. And he's watching his dobberki, or he's feeling the line. And when he feels a bite, now he says, oh, there's a bite, he's playing around. And then he'll hook you. And when you'll get hooked, you won't be able to come out of that hook again. Like, for example, people think we're only playing games on the computer. But even these games are to hook you onto something else. We're eating chappies all the time. Chappies eventually will take you to more worse things. You get hooked on, you won't be able to give it up again. And then when you are hooked on, you are in big troubles now. All these other funny things, we should avoid it. Yeah. And when we are told by our elders, listen to them. But the youngsters feel they too clever. That these old people, what they know, who are they? They old Zamana time, old people, old toppies, and what they know, what is happening, new Zamana now, that we know what's happening. So that little fish, and that man there, he has come with his other 4 friends for fishing for the weekend. There are 5 of them all together. Now, the minute you hooked on, he'll play with you in the water, let you carry on playing. When he's now ready, then he'll take you out of the water. When he takes you out, he'll take out the hook from your mouth, and then he'll cut you in the middle. And he'll take out all your intestines and everything of your inside. And your bones and your insides, he'll throw it to the fish and cats they have come out, to the cats and dogs they have come with. They will bring firewood from the jungle, they'll make a fire. And then they put a fish frying pan on top, put oil in there. And light the fire, and when that oil is sizzling, hot, hot, hot. They are Indian fishermen. They brought their masalas also from home. And they put marinate you with that masalas of theirs. Then one piece they will put in the hot, hot frying oil. In that oil. And after that, there are 5 of them. They got 10 fingers. And they don't eat with 5 fingers, they eat with 10 fingers. 50 fingers, they will make pieces out of you. And then each one got 32 teeth. 5 of them, 160 teeth, they will grind you. Cut you, make you fine, fine. Then you go into the inside, the big intestines, the small intestines, where they'll crush you even more. And where you're going to come out finally, I can't even tell you. And what smells will come at that time? And what sounds will come at that time? Where you're going to come out? I can't even tell you. Now the small fish gets worried. Achha? All this is going to happen. But that small fish goes university nowadays. And they are more clever. They study. They go to the lab. And they go to the... They make experiments, scientific experiments in the lab, and they do research nowadays. So that small fish say, I must do research. I can't just accept hearing, they say, is deceiving. And seeing is believing, whereas the truth is the opposite. Hearing is believing. We hear Allah is one, we didn't see Allah. We hear about Jannat, we didn't see Jannat. We hear about Jahannam, we didn't see Jahannam. We hear, that is believing. And that is the truth. And seeing is deceiving. Seeing the dunya, lot of money, big house, mansion, car, comfortable, successful in life, that is deceiving. To think that dunya is making you successful, that is deceiving. But to hear that akhirat I'm successful, that is believing. But this fish has got it wrong. that seeing is believing and hearing is deceiving. So the fish say, I must check up myself. So it starts with its experiment. And what experiment it makes? Three things it does which are all totally wrong. First of all, it's making its research in the water. And all this is happening outside the water. Where it's happening outside the water and it's making research in the water. So we want to know about Jannat and Jahannam in dunya, but it's not in dunya. It's there outside of dunya, and we want to research and look for Jannat and Jahannam. It's not here. The second thing that fish says, that there is no life out of water. Because a fish, it's got small brains. It just thinks according to its own brains that we live in the water. The minute we're out of water, we die. So he thinks there is no life out of water. There is only life in water. And you telling us all this happening out of the water? Out of the water there is no life. Life is only in the water. Then thirdly, the fish swam everywhere. Practical, it made its applications and investigation. Nowhere it found the dogs and cats. Nowhere it found... It's looking in the water. All this is out of the water. So it says that the results show that what you are saying is totally wrong. Now it gets courage, but it's still a little frightened. Takes a small little bite. Nothing happens. Delicious. Fresh. Fat worm. Enjoy it. Now it goes and take a bigger bite. And exactly what it was told, it sees it all playing out. Now it's being pulled out. Now they are cutting it up. Now they're gorging out the eyes. Now they're throwing the bones and the eyes and that to the dogs and cats. Now they're putting the masalas. Now it's going to be put in the hot, just like that. Wallah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us what is going to happen in the qabr. What's going to happen on the day of Qiyamah. If we are not going to believe and we're not going to make our actions accordingly, the same results will be ours in the qabr. May Allah save us all. And this little bit frying of the fish in the hot oil, that is nothing so bad as what the punishment will be in the qabr. In the qabr, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, Mishkat Sharif's riwayat, that such farishtas are put to punish the people in the qabr who are blind, who are deaf. First of all, even if the farishtas hear you screaming and crying and seeing your suffering, it will make no difference to them. But Allah put an extra precaution that they can't see, they can't hear your screaming, they can't see you suffering. They are given such hammers to hit a person in the qabr that the biggest mountain of the world, if they have to hit one shot, that mountain will go into pieces. And here this person will get punishment till the day of Qiyamah. If we didn't appreciate our time, and we did not bring Iman on Allah, Iman on the things that we cannot see, and we are bringing Iman on dunya's things here, my rands and cents, my properties and my investments, my bank balances, my buildings, these things we have got Iman on, and we did not bring Iman on those things, then such will be the condition in the qabr. So Allah is warning. And remember also again, don't forget, Allah is saying this with so much love that He's taking qasam of time, so that my bandas will listen to me. I want them to listen to me. I don't want them to get this suffering. I want them to become successful. So this Iman. So also take another simple example. There is a train standing on the station. It just came in, it's standing. And then a dog went under the engine and it slept away. This train also was standing. After half an hour, whatever it was, the train had to move now. So the dog also woke up at that time. When the dog woke up, it started walking. As it walking, the engine, the train also moved. So what the dog thought, while I was sleeping, the whole train was standing still. Now that I started moving, the whole train, I'm making the train move. And now it got fresh a little bit, the dog. So it started running. The train also picked up speed. Now it's convinced 100%. I'm in control of this whole train. While I was sleeping, the train was standing. When I started walking, the train started moving. When I started running, the train went faster. But the dog going to get tired in a few minutes time. Its tongue will come out. It will be puffing and panting. It can't do anything. And the train will go on for how many thousands of kilometers it will carry on. Just like that, we think that I'm running the business. If I don't open the shop, one person told me, Mali sahab, taala bhi to kholwana, to rozi chale. That I have to open the locks, then my business will function. I have to do all these things. So I have to see to my business. My house, if I'm not there, my family will die of hunger. How many people died? Who died of hunger? Eh? How many people died? We said the shop, who will make the shop run? They are gone in the cupboard. The shops are running better. Take for us our condition here. 70, 80, 100 years ago. Most of us who came, our forefathers came. They slept in the back part of the shop. Just like now, India people are coming. They sleep in the factory. They sleep in the shop at the back. When our forefathers came, also like that. They were just sleeping at the back and there. And those times, roads were all corrugated roads, almost. You had to pass through the farms of the people. You had to open the gates and go past. So that time also, a person who was in charge of the roads, rainy season and corrugated roads, sand roads, muddy pools of water. I remember when we were small, we should travel all these conditions. So those people said, if I don't take out the grader and I don't grade the road, how will the people travel? That people, person went to his cover, and today there are byways and freeways and expressways and what roads. That shops of ours, we thought that if I don't open that shop, what will happen? That shops today, the children, grandchildren, great grandchildren are doing international trade. They are importing and they are exporting. What big businesses. Those times, the kitchen dresser was that soap box. That little soap box, that was the kitchen dresser. And today look at the units in the kitchen. So dunya, we think we are running dunya like that little dog. We will get tired, we will go in our cupboard. And dunya is moving it on. Look at the buildings in the world. Look at any city, what buildings which we couldn't imagine before. And they were small. When we were small, Eskom House was the tallest building. And today you can't see Eskom House also. What is it? It's nothing. So like that the world is carrying on. Let us not be fooled. Let us make our iman. Allah is the doer. I'm only a means, and my worry is my akhirat. My worry, Allah has promised our rozi. Whoever comes in this world, everyone, Allah has written his rozi. While he's in the womb of his mother, his rozi is written down. And no matter what he does or what he does not do, that rozi will come to him. I feel I'm in charge of my children's rozi. I'm in charge of my wife's rozi. I'm not even in charge of my own rozi. It is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. My worry must be my father. That Allah didn't write down that you are going to be successful. That we have to worry about our qabr. We have to work for that. What we are responsible for, we don't want to do. And what we are not responsible for, that we want to do all the time. So the first thing, in order to come out of this destruction and not waste our time, make our iman. The second is, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those people who will do righteous and good deeds. And what are righteous and good deeds? Not what I think, but what Allah has said and what His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us. I might think that the customer who comes in my shop, a lady customer, and I say, and I'm smiling with her, Allah said it's haram to talk with her like that. I think it's akhlaq. But Allah said it's not akhlaq, it's not akhlaq. In the aeroplane with the air hostess, you're smiling and laughing and talking with her. You thinking I got good akhlaq and character, I'm very kind and I'm very jolly and I know how to talk. But Allah says it's haram what you are doing. So it's not our choice what I think. It is what Allah, our creator, what He has defined for us. So all our a'mal, of 5 times namaz Allah has made for us, we have to observe that namazes. And we should try and do it with proper time and in a proper way, not just slapdash, rush and do it, finish as far as possible, and with jamaat properly. Our tilawat of Quran Sharif daily, our dhikr, our du'as daily, all those are the things which Allah says, you do this and I will make you successful. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, when a person is in the house of Allah, seeing to fulfilling the rights of Allah, Allah see to all his needs outside the masjid. We think that, oh, I got this work, that work, today I got no time for namaz. Today I'll make qaza tonight, at night I'll make my namaz qaza, because I'm rushing for time, I haven't got time. But we don't know, we are catching the cat by the tail. If you want to catch a cat and you catch it by the tail, it will turn around and scratch you very badly. Learn how to catch a cat. Hold it by its neck so you got it properly. So all our problems of dunya, don't catch them by the tail. That we got this work, no time for masjid today, no time for namaz, I got lot of work, I'm very busy in the shop, lot of customers, I have to unpack goods, I have to mark goods, I have to pack goods, I got no time, I'll see tonight after Isha, I'll make all my qaza one time. No, we are catching the cat by the tail, this dunya will turn around and bite us again. At this point, let me just explain this also, a very important and necessary point. Any person who puts his trust, who puts his praises in a thing besides Allah, that thing where you put your trust and praises, that's the thing that will turn around and bite you. Like for example, you got a son, and you say, my son is very clever, very bright, and what, he's so good, hard working and everything. And you're praising him, oh, this son, he does everything for me, and he's so good. Allah will make it that son will be the cause of your problem.
Allah.
Either such a sickness will come in him, Now he's becoming, how many boys we have seen with our eyes, becoming hafiz, they are doing one supara a week, 12, 13 suparas, became a cabbage, just sleeping in the bed, doesn't want to get up from the bed, nazar lag jati hai, our parents, all nazar also fall on their children, that oh he's too good, he's so bright, etc. Allah makes it like that, or even worse, Allah make him a drug addict tomorrow. Your daughter you are praising, she's so good, this daughter, she listens to me, she's the best girl, and you can't get a daughter like her. Tomorrow you found out she eloped with a non-Muslim, and now you don't know where to hide your face. So praises only belong to Allah Ta'ala. Don't put too much praises in anyone or anything besides Allah Ta'ala. Praise only belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Don't put your trust in anything or anyone besides Allah. Put your trust only in Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala, first is Iman, then our A'mal must come in order. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And always make tawasi bilhaq. Advise, speak the truth. This is also a great thing that is gone out of us. Before, parents should tell their children properly. Today we say we can't tell the children. They get offended. And we're keeping quiet. So the evil is increasing all the time. Where we can speak, we did not speak. We did not make qadr and appreciate. So Allah made it such that now the children don't want to listen to us also. And now we are not saying, we know the child is not making namaz, we're keeping quiet. We know the child, my daughter's dressing is horrible, but I can't say a word how she's dressing. And now we're keeping quiet, it's becoming worse and worse. Slow, there is a way to say things, say it in the right way. And say it correctly, but say it. It is Allah's hukam for the parents that they must see that they tell their children what is right. But don't say it in the wrong way. One time somebody asked Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Makkah Sharif, that Hazrat, you say that we must be very, very diplomatic, soft, must be very kind to everyone. So if we don't tell our children, they're going to go out of line. Our workers, they do wrong and we don't tell them, they're not going to do work anymore. Our wives, we don't tell them, they'll go complete. So Hazrat say, when did I say you mustn't say? I said you must say, but say it in the right way. What is the right way? The first thing, don't be angry when you talk. If you are angry, you don't know what you are talking. And then you are swearing and shouting, you are making the situation worse. When you are angry, keep quiet. Afterwards, when your anger is under control and your mind is under control, now speak to the person, whether it's your child, whether it's your wife, your workers, whoever it is. Now you will choose your words correctly. And related with that, that don't use vulgar language. We, when we have to shout the work or something, we feel without swear words, it doesn't work. You must swear. Then only you can get your work done. Or we think the wife or the children also tell we don't swear and we become vulgar. No, that is wrong. Be polite. Respect the person. The wrong he's doing is wrong. But she is your wife, he's your child, your worker. They are working for you. So choose the right language. And then point out the mistake they have done. Many times we forget. We're shouting so much and so angry, but the person himself doesn't even know I made a mistake. Like for example, the husband always wants his tea when he starts his meal. For example, there are many people like that. So normally, so nature as normal, the wife put the tea. But that day, you wanted the tea after your meals. You wanted it hot. Now your wife doesn't know. Now you are swearing her. She doesn't even know. She thought she's doing her normal, proper duty, giving your tea beginning of the meal. And now suddenly you shouting. And now she doesn't know why you shouting and why you screaming. Or perhaps you told her also, but she forgot. And now you are screaming and shouting. So tell her nicely, see, I told you, I want my tea today after the meal. Anything else, your clothing, all the matters of the house, tell her nicely. And then explain to her, or the worker, whoever it is, let them understand what mistake they did. And then the last, fourth thing, tell them the solution also. Not only shout. Today, what is common? We get together anywhere, wedding or anywhere, we meet or something. Or there's no water in town. And this is happening and that is happening. Nobody speaks of the solution. Or we say that today petrol price has gone too high. What are the poor people going to do? But if somebody, Maulana Qasim, my brother-in-law, he had, mashallah, this very good habit. So he would, they say, petrol price has gone very high. How the poor are going to live? So he say, okay, everyone take out 50 rand. We'll go and give it to the poor. Everyone forget the subject. Nobody talk after that. When it comes to the fumayya amal, when it comes to the solution, then. But just talking is free of charge. So that we will talk as much as we want to. Government is not right. The Jews are putting up the price. This one, make a big noise. But the solution we don't want to do. One time we were having breakfast in reunion, and one person, you know, he was a bit fascinated. These people have come from South Africa, and he's asking questions all about South Africa, everything. And we all want to eat breakfast. We are hungry. And his question, and then the question, then the translation, then the answer, then the translation again. So Maulana Qasim, what he did, he said, just make his tashkil for 4 months. After that, he kept quiet. He didn't speak one word. He said, just send for 4 months jamaat. Then he kept quiet. So when it comes to the solution, then we don't want to accept the solution. But all other things, make a big noise, talk, lot of things, that we are all the time. So this is a very important duty, watawa sawbil haq, to speak the truth and to say it in the right way. And when you want to say the truth, remember from before Allah warned us and told us, watawa sawbil sabr, you will have to make sabr. When you go and tell your wife, see, your dressing is not right, it's not, she'll ask you, all the muftis are dead in the world. You're the only mufti left in the world. Eh? That you know all the masalas. All that kind of things you will they will come out with. That daddy, oh, you've gone very pious. Eh? You're the biggest buzurg in the town. When daddy will just tell him some small thing, then they will, so you'll have to make sabr. And what does sabr mean? Carry on. Hear what they got to say, but carry on doing your thing. Now we, when they, if one person says something like that, finish. They were negative, we don't want to talk again. Our Shaykh says, people say today that nobody's prepared to listen. So don't tell anyone. A person who says like that, Hazrat says, you have to read your kalima again. You lost your iman. Because Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind. A reminder is beneficial for the believers. And you are saying it's not beneficial. Nobody is prepared to listen. And you tell anyone, nobody is prepared to listen. Allah says it's beneficial. You saying it's not beneficial. So you are speaking against the words of Allah. How dangerous is. And this is common. Today we say, kone kewa jai, kwan hamre, koi ni hambar to. Kiklu jwe to, jitlu jwe to, itlu kaya karo. Diwar jewa bani gela chai, koi achni hambar to. No, it isn't. We must say, but learn to say it in the right way. For that reason, we have to stay in the company of the ulama. And alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity, so much I saw my share. Different situation, different types of people, how he handles every situation. You can't just use the same stick for everyone. How the occasion is, anzilun nas manazilahum, mardum shanasi, mawqa shanasi, see the occasion, see the person, according to that speak to the people. If we do it in the right way, Allahu Akbar, the lesson is in front of us. What was the condition of the mushriks of Makkah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used this method, and today it's a city where there isn't one kafir in Makkah. What was, and 1400 years, what an effort he made. What a foundation he put, that Islam is so strong there. Not it lasted for 50 years, 100 years, in front of our eyes. 1400 years and Islam is so strong there. How? Because he used the right approach. So for that we have to stay in the company of the Buzurgs and Akabir and elders of Deen. So inshallah on the 8th, 9th and 10th of February in the Darul Uloom of Azadwell, we are having an Islahi Majlis. That is all discussion on this way, how these things can come into us. With that we realize the value of time, of akhirat, our eternal life, and iman, and how to prepare, and the inside qualities to develop them. We have to have knowledge of deen, then we have to have our amal and actions also, namaz, roza, etc. But then our niyat, sincerity also must be right. There must be humbleness. If we are making lot of ibadat whole night, but little bit of pride came in us, everything is washed away. So it mustn't happen. Like you working on your computer 5-6 hours, and now you went to crossbox, you are exiting, so they ask you delete or save. And by mistake you went to delete. 5 hours of work, 6 hours of work, you deleted it all. What a big nuksan. So by making your inside qualities ikhlas, tawazu, shukr, you will go to save. You will save all your amal. Otherwise, we will be doing amal and deleting it all. And we are not even aware that I deleted it. Next, you go and check up in your documents. Document is not there. What's up? Where it happened? You deleted it and you hardly knew you deleted it. You made whole night ibadat. In the morning, you met your friend. Hey, I'm very tired, man. Why? Last night I didn't sleep. What? I was making tahajjud whole night. Everything deleted. Instead of saving it, say, putting it on safe, you deleted everything. So therefore, these inside qualities are very important. So inshallah, on the 8th, 9th and 10th of February, from Juma time, Saturday until Sunday, Zohar will be the program. Please, all will attend, inshallah. Yusuf, you coming? Hey, inshallah. I heard you saying inshallah, Yusuf. And who else is coming? Now no one is saying inshallah. All will come, inshallah. Our friend is not saying inshallah. All come, inshallah. There will be great benefit, inshallah. You will see, come for yourself, see, even if you just want to come to see for the first time. But inshallah, you'll see you there. It's great, great benefit. May Allah give us all tawfiq. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يا الله جو كها سنة قبول فرما. يا الله بغير كهي سنة تيري قدرت كاملة ہے اور تيري رحمت عامة ہے کہ تو ہماری دلوں میں ڈال سکتا ہے ڈال دے صحیح بات اور اس پر عمل کی توفیق بھی تو عطا فرما. اے مولا کریم جتنے جن و انس ہے ہم سب کو وہ ایمان اور اسلام نصیب فرما جس سے تو راضی اور خوش ہوتا ہے. اسی پر جینا نصیب فرما, اسی پر مرنا نصیب فرما. مرنے سے پہلے پہلے توبت النصوح نصیب فرمانا مقبول. اور اے اللہ اسی پر جی اٹھنا نصیب فرما, اسی کے ساتھ ہمیں جنت الفردوس میں پہنچا دے. تیرے عذاب اور عتاب ناراضگی اور حجابات سے یا اللہ اب سے ہمیشہ کے لیے ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما. جو بھی کوئی پریشان ہو, کہیں بھی کوئی بھی ہو, پیسوں کی وجہ سے, روزی کی وجہ سے, بیماری کی وجہ سے, یا اللہ آپس کی جھگڑے اور اختلافات کی وجہ سے, یا اللہ کسی کا کام نہ بننے کی وجہ سے کسی طریقے سے ہم سب کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. یا اللہ دین دنیا کے آخرت کی تمام خیر اور بھلائیاں اپنے لطف و کرم سے مہربانی سے ہم سب کو نصیب فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقه سیدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه اجمعین. سبحان ربک رب العزة عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ. Thank you.